Boom. Hey, this is Stella Gefti.
And this is Heaton Cha.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, here's a quick topic I want to discuss with you, Heaton. And that is the topic of becoming cynical or jaded as a founder.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
Right? So in the beginning, one of the most beautiful things about being a founder and entrepreneur, especially when it's your first time, is that you have this, the bliss of ignorance, right? You have this like youthful beginner's mind. Everything is possible. Every little bit, everything you learn is like a mind-blown new fact. And it's an exciting thing to start a company from scratch. You come up with a name, a logo, a landing page, a first version of your product. You start talking to people. It's super exciting. But if you've been doing startups and if you've been a founder and entrepreneur for a minute, for years, and if you've done as many companies as you and I have done, right? And as time goes by, we have more and more entrepreneurs that have been around the block and have done a few things already. You know, it is hard not to become a little jaded or a little cynical. So the more experienced the founders are that I talk to, the more I detect in them, and I've detected this in me as well, I'm not above this, a certain cynicism when new ideas are being discussed, new things are being discussed. People start leaning more towards why can't this be done than on the why could this be done, right? And I wanted to talk to you about this. Like, how do you think about cynicism in startups and entrepreneurship and being jaded? Is this a good thing? Is it a problem? Is it not a problem? How do you think about it in general? What have you observed? Let's just unpack this a little bit for the two of us.
I know you like quotes.
So, yes, I do.
I do too. So it's not necessarily a quote, but it's a line that somehow I picked up, and apparently Steve Jobs said it. And it's just this idea that ideas are fragile. And so I have this with some people around me, not a lot, where like their first impulse with an idea is to think through risk. I call it just thinking through risk.
Right.
They're not trying to shoot it down. They're just like, why would this not work? Their basically way of processing the idea has to do with an immediate impulse of assessing the risk of the idea instead of imagining what it could be. Those are two very different mental ways of thinking. I hear an idea and all I can think of is how do we make this work? How can it work? I imagine what it could be, what it can do for the business. All that is my first impulse. My last impulse is, what's the risk? Which is not always a good thing. and I think balance in this is really good. While I know other people who I will mention an idea to, and immediately the idea is thought is like taken into the systematic process of, how's it going to work? How are we going to do it? Why can't we do it? What about this other thing that we're already doing? And how does this relate to that? And all these things that typically when I have an idea, I didn't even think about. I just had an idea. It's just a damn idea. So ideas are fragile is from Steve Jobs. He said that somewhere, or Johnny Ive, I think said that about him is I think really what it was. And I think Johnny Ive even said, oftentimes Steve Jobs would come to him and say, Hey Johnny, I have this dopey idea. So he's already coming in saying, hey, I don't know. You know, so that concept has been really helpful when I talk to certain people on my team in helping all of us think more systematic in positive ways and more thoughtful about the idea, not trying to beat it up at first and really thinking through, is this a good idea? Is it not a good idea? How do we evaluate whether it's a good idea? And ideas are fragile. It's just an idea. It's like a thought. It doesn't mean anything yet, right? It's just something you need to communicate with someone else, especially when it comes to business ideas. Or, you know, new ideas. And I think this idea that you get jaded over time is probably because you've heard a lot of ideas or you've tried a lot of things and they didn't work. They just didn't work.
Right.
You know, but don't let that stop you from having a brilliant idea. That's my kind of throwdown. And I'll say one other thing before I let you kind of respond and also tell me what you're thinking about here, where this comes from. But one other thing that I really love, again, is Steve Jobs' thing is whenever they launched something or whenever something was done, all he would think about and say, and I think I've said this before, is what's next. Mm. And a good friend of mine that worked at Apple told me that like that was the mantra. And that's pretty impressive, right? Like at their scale, at their size, they do great things, but all Steve Jobs cares about is what's next. And I think that that relates to this because you can't come up with what's next unless you have ideas.
Beautiful. All right. So I hear your quote and I bring my own quote, my friend, right?
Yeah.
If this is a quote showdown, I'm not empty handed here. So my quote is from another kind of a founder CEO that I know we both admire, which is Jeff Bezos, which is the quote of like, it's good to ask why, but it's equally good to ask why not. Right. And I think that goes to this like, you know, asking why should we do this? Why is this a good idea? Why is the competition not going to be doing it? Why is this useful to our customers? There's the flip side of it, which is like, why not? Like, you know, taking an approach of like, maybe this is cool and why shouldn't we do this? So I think that I'm weird in the sense that very early on in my entrepreneurial career, one of the things that I've kind of a hack that I had established in the very early days of my many, many ideas was that I found a guy, shout out to Ramin, who is a mastermind of the Startup Chat and we've helped us with the podcast for a long time. Ramin, kind of from a very early stage on, became my sounding board for new ideas. And the process that we had, and still have to this day in some ways, is that I would go to him first with an idea that was very fragile and very early, but I would go with the intent for him to crush it, right? And I would offer very little resistance. I'd be like, oh, I think this is a brilliant idea. It could be this, this, and that. What do you think? And then Ramin would think about it and be like, eh. And I'd go, but think about it. Da, 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 da. These are all the benefits of it. And he'd go, yeah, but why about, how do you do this? And what do you do about that? And I'm like, huh, I don't really know. And I would have a very nonchalant way about it where I would go, well, I would just let him shoot them down and not even fight it too much. And then I would just let this slide and just take a day or two and see if I can let the idea go. And if I can't let it go, most of the times the next day or 2 days later, I'd be like, I actually don't think it's a good idea either. Like I just like in that moment, I felt strongly about it, but now I think it's dumb. But some ideas, even 2 days later, I'd still feel strongly. So I would go and try again. I would just take a second attempt and a third attempt. And him giving me pushback was not something that would really crush my morale or make me think I'm stupid, I shouldn't have more ideas. It's just a way for me to go about it. But then what I used to do is I used to be the Ramin for many other people. And I at some point realized not everybody is thinking about, you know, their ideas being crushed the same way that I was thinking about this. And this formula might work really well for me and Ramin, but it doesn't work for most people. So I have to adjust, right? And be a better sparring partner, a brainstorming partner for people in the early days, the way you said it. But it's funny, for many years, I think I was hypercritical in the very early stages of ideas that people brought to me, which probably made me somebody that people didn't want to discuss new ideas with very frequently. So I love the question framework that you offer with like, first, let's ask ourselves, how could we make this happen? How could this become a success? How could this work? And maybe later we'll ask ourselves, how could it not work or what couldn't work about it? One thing that I'll throw out there that I experienced recently, which was really, this is such a simple thing and still was surprising to me. I had a friend that visited me for a week in New York recently, and he is in the process of thinking about starting something new. So we spent a lot of time during that week just talking for hours and hours, just brainstorming ideas, thinking through things, talking big themes, the future. It was a really fun week. I really love the guy. So anyway, so to wrap this up, one of the ideas that he had, we kind of brainstormed and we both said, yeah, you should just work on this and you should do step 1, 2, and 3 and gather a little bit more intel and a bit more data. And there was one big glaring problem about how to execute this, how to scale this idea. And in the beginning of the week, we discussed that, could we solve the scalability issue? How could we address this? And eventually he actually stopped me as I was like ranting on different things and thinking really critically about it. He stopped me and he said, you know what? Since we don't have an obvious solution to this, who cares? I truly believe if I start working on this and if we start seeing more data, more information, we'll gather more insights that will then lead us to an answer to this problem. This scalability problem is not big enough for this idea not to be potentially incredibly valuable. So let's not worry about solving this now. And I was like, oh my God, he's so right. I wouldn't have stopped though. I was in the framework of trying to solve this right now and I couldn't. So I was stuck on that. And then within 4 days of him doing some research, talking to some customers, interviewing some people, and I was just observing this on the side while I was doing my own work, we had another discussion at a late dinner that then, boom, we instantly had like a brilliant and simple solution to the scalability issue. And I was like, he was right. You know, it was sometimes, you know, you find the right solutions for the problem as you invest more and more time in it, as you learn more about it, and you don't have to solve all potential problems of an idea on day one or in the very early stages. And that was kind of really beautiful for me to observe and be part of, because I was kind of stuck on a different mind frame.
That's pretty interesting. That's very interesting. I think that this is just a super important topic for anybody listening, because we're either stuck because we don't have any ideas. And usually that's because we're stressed out and not great at, you know, not feeling great. Or we're ready to go and we have lots of ideas. And when we communicate them to other people, I think there's two important things here. Like, we have to understand the person we're communicating them to. And we also have to understand ourselves to understand how should we be communicating this idea. Because oftentimes we can be really excited about a new idea. And that excitement doesn't always wear off on the other person or get taken on by the other person. And if you don't know how that other person thinks, it's much harder to communicate. So for example, for me, I like communicating verbally. I think you do too. And with some people on my team, if I communicate the idea verbally, it's not the most effective way to communicate the idea. The best way to communicate the idea is actually write it down, or some kind of pictures, or some kind of example. My worst fear is when I say an idea and someone asks me, who's done it before? Show me. And the reason that's my worst fear is I don't know most of the time. These ideas aren't something where I looked somewhere else and came up with it. I was just thinking and I came up with an idea. I don't know if someone else has done it. Quite frankly, I don't care, right? If it's the right idea for us, it shouldn't matter whether someone else has done it. In fact, if someone else has done it, it's likely I might not want to do it anymore. But that's just my own impulse, right? And so I think it's important to know, like, how do you communicate? What's your best way? And then also, what's the best way to communicate an idea to the other person and force yourself to do it their way if you really need them to be on board?
Beautiful. All right. I think we're going to wrap this episode up at this point. As always, if you want to get feedback from us, if you're in the early days of ideas and you want have two, you know, ears and eyes that are going to be friendly and brainstorming with you, just shoot us an email. If you've been super jaded and super cynical lately and you've kind of become a grumpy founder and you want to talk about that, we always love to hear from you. Stelly@close.io, hnshaw@gmail.com. Until next time, we'll hear you very soon.
See ya.